السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي، آمين يا رب العالمين. Any action that we begin with sincerity, remember that it results in a very beautiful outcome also. Because the result of an action depends on the intention, on how that action began. So if we are spending so much time learning the Qur'an, reflecting upon the Qur'an, reading the Qur'an, what is it that we should intend? What should we intend with this effort of ours? First and foremost, it is important that we seek the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we want to please Allah through this effort. Secondly, we want to spend time with the Qur'an in order to increase in our righteous deeds. Remember that this is like an investment that will bring you benefit, not just in this life, but also in the next life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرُجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورِ. Those who recite the book of Allah, establish prayer, and spend out of what we have given them openly and secretly, expect a trade, a profit, a gain that will never perish. Thirdly, we should study the Qur'an in order to revive our heart. Because remember, without the Qur'an, the heart is barren and desolate. So the Qur'an is like rain that brings life to dead land. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down rain from the sky to revive the earth. And He also sends down His verses to revive hearts. Then we should study the Qur'an in order to get contentment and peace in our hearts, because أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Unquestionably, by the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured. Also remember that when a person learns the Qur'an, they recite the Qur'an, then Qur'an is also a healing. Because Allah says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we send down of the Qur'an that which is healing and mercy for the believers. So as you spend time with the Qur'an right now, have the intention of seeking healing. That, O Allah, heal me, my physical, spiritual, emotional ailments, all of them. Also, we should study the Qur'an for guidance, because the Qur'an has been sent to guide us. We should study the Qur'an in order to increase our iman, our faith, because the believers are such that when they listen to the verses of Allah, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. It increases them in iman. Also, when a person spends time with the Qur'an, then this is actually an act of worship. We are reading, listening to the book of Allah, because this is an act of servitude to Allah, something by which we hope for reward. And we should study the Qur'an in order to be saved from the fire of hell. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if the Qur'an was put in a skin and thrown in the fire, it would not burn. So by keeping the Qur'an, by bringing the Qur'an in our lives, we are as though protecting ourselves from the fire of hell. Also remember that when a person spends time with the Qur'an, then they will get the intercession of the Qur'an on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Qur'anu mushaffa'un wa mahilun musaddaqun." The Qur'an is an intercessor, a truthful prosecutor. Meaning, when a person will spend time with the Qur'an, will allow the Qur'an to lead him, a person will follow the Qur'an, then the Qur'an will also lead him to paradise on the Day of Judgment. And we should study the Qur'an to improve our lives, to make our lives better. Because the Qur'an is mubarak. Its blessing is abundant. Ibn al-Qayyim said that if people knew what is in the recitation of the Qur'an with contemplation, they would leave everything to occupy themselves with the recitation and reflection of the Qur'an. And finally, we should study the Quran for worldly and for eternal benefits, especially Jannatul Firdaus. Ibn al-Qayyim said, there is nothing more beneficial for the slave, neither for this life nor the next. Nothing that will draw him closer to salvation than tadabbur, reflection on the Quran, and spending time reflecting upon it, and focusing all of his thoughts upon the meaning of its verses. So reciting the Quran, learning the Quran, listening to it, reflecting on its meaning is one of the best things that a person can do. So with this intention, we will begin juz number 2. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سيقول السفهاء من الناس ما ولاهم عن قبلتهم التي كانوا عليها قل لله المشرق والمغرب يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. The foolish among the people will certainly say, what has turned them away from their qibla which they used to face? Say to them, to Allah belongs the east and the west. He guides whom He wills to a straight path. When the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, then for the first 16 or 17 months, he prayed salah facing the Baytul Maqdis, which is in Jerusalem. And this was also the qibla of the people of the book. And then he was instructed to pray facing the Kaaba. And on this change of qibla, there was an uproar. There was a lot of criticism from the hypocrites, from the people of the book, and also the polytheists. And what was the criticism? That if this first qibla was valid, then why change it? And if the Kaaba is the right qibla, then why face the previous one for so long? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ. The foolish will say, meaning those who criticize because of their foolishness. Because remember, it is not the direction of the east or the direction of the west that has virtue in it. The virtue is actually in obeying Allah. قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. Both the east and the west belong to Allah. Therefore, the main thing in worship is actually obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that ibadah, worship, is to comply with the commands of Allah. Whether the deed is internal or external, it is a word or an action. Ibadah is to do it in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, the way that He has legislated. And this is the essence of worship. So if Allah commands His slave that the slave should face the east in prayer, then the servant who seeks Allah's approval will turn towards the east without any hesitation. So the believing servant who has surrendered to Allah is not in the place of criticizing the command of Allah. This goes against the very spirit of surrender. The person who objects, who criticizes the commands and decrees of Allah, is actually being called foolish over here. And this is something that teaches us a very important lesson, that if there are people who criticize Allah, then what do you think about yourself? Will people not criticize you? Sometimes you are 100% right. You are saying something that is true, yet people criticize you. They call you crazy. So what should a person do in this situation? Do not allow this toxicity to affect you. Do not pay attention to it. However, check yourself, that am I doing what is right? What I am doing, is it according to the commands of Allah? If it is, then I should do it with full confidence and determination. And if it is not, then I should correct myself. Sometimes people comment on the different aspects of your life. Some comments are in fact so hurtful, so painful, that they bring you to tears. And these are matters over which you don't always have control. For example, if a person is not married, people keep pestering, when will you get married? If a person does not have children, well, why don't you have children? If a person went through divorce, well, tell me your entire sad story. So learn to ignore such comments. Because a lot of times, these comments are actually coming from a place of foolishness, a place of safaha, ignorance. So if we're not doing anything wrong, if the choices that we have made are in accordance with Allah's commands, then do not care about what people say. Because if we make our goal the pleasure of people, then we will be miserable. The main thing is to seek the approval of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the person who rises above the criticism of people, only they can be consistent in doing good. And such a person is intelligent. In contrast, the person who objects, who criticizes the words of Allah, the commands of Allah and of His Messenger, then such a person is foolish. So are you going to listen to the fools? Are you going to be affected by what they say? Never. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And thus we have made you a just community. Wasat also means best, an excellent ummah. Why? So that you will be witnesses over the people, and the messenger will be a witness over you. So view people and their matters in light of the knowledge that Allah has given you. Don't blindly imitate or accept everything. Use the knowledge that Allah has given you. And remember that on the Day of Judgment, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be a witness over you. And we did not make the Qibla, which you used to face before, except that we might make evident who would follow the messenger from who would turn back on his heels. Meaning this was just a test. So remember that when circumstances in life change, from ease to difficulty, from health to sickness, free time to occupation, and vice versa, these are all different shades of trials in life. Remember that this entire life is in fact a test. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah is testing you, which of you is best indeed. This is the main thing, that regardless of how the circumstances are, one thing should not change, and that is our servitude to Allah. That we continue to worship Allah with righteous deeds. And remember that a deed is righteous when it is done with sincerity, ikhlas for Allah, and in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is exactly what was being examined over here. That who is it that will obey Allah and follow the messenger, and who is it that will turn back on his heels? And indeed, it is difficult. It is difficult. The change of qibla, like many other things in life, is actually hard for many people. The thing is that change is something that people find hard. Why? Because we fall into set patterns, we fall into set routines, and we go on autopilot. And when things change, we get uncomfortable and we get frazzled. However, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرًا, it is difficult. Except for who? Except for those whom Allah has guided. So the person who is guided by Allah, the person who accepts those changes and remains obedient to Allah, then that change is not difficult for him. And never would Allah have caused you to lose your faith. Salah is actually being called faith, iman over here. Meaning the prayers that you performed facing the previous qibla, they're still valid. And this shows us how important salah is. Allah will never allow to be lost. Allah will never cause you to lose your faith. Meaning Allah will not waste your previous prayers. So the companions were assured over here that your deeds have not gone to waste, because you prayed in the previous direction in obedience to Allah, just as now you will pray in this direction in obedience to Allah. So the main thing is actually obedience to Allah. Indeed, Allah is to the people, meaning to all people, He is ever kind and ever merciful. These are some names of Allah. And these names tell us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever kind, ever merciful. Ra'uf, Rahim, Ra'fa comes after Rahmah. When it is said, so-and-so is Rahim, it means they're kind. But when they're very kind, they're also described as Ra'uf. And the fact is that Allah Azza wa Jal is truly kind to His servants. In fact, He is most kind to His servants, more than anyone else. He is more affectionate to His servants than a mother is to her child. He is kind to His servants in this world and also in the next. He opens ways of guidance for His servants and provides ease to His servants. As He says, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Indeed, your Lord is to you surely affectionate and merciful. Now, some details of the change of Qibla are given. We have certainly seen the turning of your face toward the sky. Because remember that the Prophet ﷺ expected this command, and in anticipation, he would look up to the sky. And we will surely turn you to a Qibla with which you will be pleased. So turn your face toward Al-Masjid Al-Haram. So the command came. And wherever you believers are, turn your faces toward it. Indeed, those who have been given the scripture well know that it is the truth from their Lord, and Allah is not unaware of what they do. And if you brought to those who were given the scripture every sign, they would not follow your Qibla. So the fact is that the people who don't want to believe you, who don't want to accept you, they will never accept you. So stop worrying about their criticism. Nor will you be a follower of their Qibla. So don't try to appease them. Nor would they be followers of one another's Qibla. You see, the Jews would face one side, the Christians would face another side. So when they're not united in their Qibla, how dare they point fingers at you? So if you were to follow their desires after what has come to you of knowledge, indeed, you would then be among the wrongdoers. So this shows us that following the desires of people after gaining knowledge is actually a form of ظلم, a form of wrongdoing. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Those to whom we gave the scripture know him as they know their own sons, and a person has no difficulty in recognizing their own child. But indeed, a party of them conceal the truth while they know it. They recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet they concealed the truth about him. So remember, concealing knowledge is actually a major crime. It's a major sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he who is asked something he knows and he conceals it will have a bridle of fire put on him on the day of resurrection. Al-haqqu min rabbik, the truth is from your Lord. So never be among the doubters. وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. For each is a direction toward which it faces. Meaning, each person has some center of life, a goal towards which they keep turning to. So what should be your center of life? What should be your goal? Allah tells us, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So race to good. Meaning, you Muslims should compete, should try to get ahead in doing good things. And this is something that we need to think about. How do we make use of our free time? When we are done with our obligations, what is it that we tend to do? We tend to scroll our phones. And if that is what we do, what is it that we watch? What is it that we read? Is it just things of pastime, or also something that will increase us in good deeds? What is it that we share? What is it that we read? What is it that we watch? This is something that we need to think about. Allah says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. And sibaq is to compete, to race in something. So rush, don't delay. And in general also, we need to think about our lives. That before we get to free time, what is it that we are always preoccupied with? For some people, their center of life is their work, or their home, or their kitchen, or their children. What is your center of life? What is it that is consuming you? What is it that your health, your wealth, your time are going into? Wherever you may be, Allah will bring you forth, meaning for judgment, all together. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent. So from wherever you go out, meaning for prayer, then turn your face toward Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And remember, there is a consensus on this, that for salah, for obligatory prayer, facing the qibla is a precondition, meaning without it, prayer is not valid. And indeed, it is the truth from your Lord, and Allah is not unaware of what you do. And from wherever you go out for prayer, turn your face toward Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And wherever you believers may be, turn your faces toward it, in order that the people will not have any argument against you, except for those of them who commit wrong. Meaning some people will forever criticize you. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ So fear them not. وَخْشَوْنِي But fear me. Do not fear people. Fear Allah. And remember that the person who fears Allah inclines to Allah. And the person who inclines towards Allah obeys Allah. And Allah will complete His blessings upon such a person. وَلِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ And it is so I may complete my favor upon you. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ And that you may be guided. So this shows us that Allah will show such people the path of guidance. So remember, it is the sign of the guided that they fear Allah. The prophets of Allah, they feared only Allah. وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ They feared Allah and they did not fear anyone else except Allah. The angels also, وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشِيَتِهِ مُشْفِقُونَ They are fearful out of awe of Him. The righteous, الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ They are those who fear their Lord. So the believers should fear Allah instead of fearing people. And especially in matters of religion, they should rely upon Allah and keep obeying Him. So when it is time to worship, obey Allah. Do not fear people. Whether it is the matter of salah, of wearing the hijab, of earning a lawful income, of speaking the truth, fear Allah. Because in the fear of Allah is salvation. It ultimately saves a person. The Prophet ﷺ said, three things save a person. And one of them is, خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ فِي السِّرِّ Fearing Allah in private and in public. And remember that the eyes that weep from the fear of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, such eyes will not enter the fire until the milk returns to the udder. Meaning, it's impossible. Such eyes, such a person will certainly be saved. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ Just as we have sent among you a messenger, another blessing that Allah has given us, that He has sent a messenger to us. Who is this messenger? He is from yourselves, a human, reciting to you our verses and purifying you and teaching you the book and wisdom and teaching you that which you did not know. So Allah has sent a role model for the guidance of the believers. And this role model, this messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did four things. What are those four things? He recited the verses. He purified the people. He taught them the book and the wisdom. So as part of his ummah, this should be our goal also, that we learn the verses that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited, and we recite them to others. That we purify ourselves with the teachings that he brought, and we purify others. That we learn the book that he taught, and we teach it to others. That we learn the wisdom that he taught, and we teach it to others. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ So what is it that you should do in return for or in response to such a huge blessing? Remember me. I will remember you. And be grateful to me. And do not deny me. What is it that the believers have been commanded over here? To remember Allah. Allah says in the Quran, وَاذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا Remember Allah much, abundantly, a lot. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ In order that you may be successful. Remember that the dhikr of Allah is one of the best things that a person can do. And in fact, the best deed is that a person departs the world. They leave from this world while they are remembering Allah. Allah says that I am with my servant as long as he remembers me and moves his lips in my remembrance. And remember that the way that we remember Allah is the way that we will be remembered by him, Azza wa Jal. The dhikr of Allah is a source of reward. It increases a person in their faith. It increases them in the love of Allah and fear of Allah. It brings them closer to Allah. And it is also a source of strength. Ibn al-Qayyim said, of the benefits of dhikr is that it gives strength to a person so that he is able to do with the dhikr of Allah what he could not even think of doing without it. So anything that you find hard, then increase in the dhikr of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the strength that you need to do your work. And remember that the best form of dhikr is salah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. O you who have believed, seek help through patience and prayer. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. He helps them. So we see that after dhikr and shukr, sabr is mentioned. Dhikr is to remember Allah. Shukr is to be grateful for the blessings of Allah. Sabr is to be patient over hardships. And the way to practice all of these is through salah. So the person who prays ends up remembering Allah and thanking Allah and is in fact observing patience. And such people receive the help of Allah. They are successful. Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing is the state of the believer. Meaning, he wins in every situation. The most painful loss that a person can experience is death, the loss of a loved one. So it is said, and do not say about those who are killed in the way of Allah, they are dead. Rather, they are alive, but you perceive it not. Meaning, you do not know how it is life. You see, for patience, we really have to change the way we think. When we change our thinking, we make it positive, then we can be patient. Remember that everything has two sides to it. Even if something seems terribly painful in one way, there is certainly good for the believer in it in another way. So when you look at the glass as half full and not half empty, when you realize that the departure from this life is only the beginning of another, then it is easy to have patience. Because now you're not just looking at what you have lost, you're actually looking at what you have gained. So sabr is possible with a shift in thinking, with a change of perspective.